Happy New Year and welcome. I'm Ellen O'Brien, and you are listening to the Storage Media Group Weekly Podcast. Rachel Kosman, our cloud storage site editor, is going to tell us what's going on in each of our Storage Media Group websites this week. But first, as we do every week, I'll talk with Dave Raffo, our senior news director. We're going to talk about all that happened in 2011 and what's hot for 2012. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you.
All right, Dave, lots of good stories on the site recapping 2011 and looking ahead to this year. I want to talk about two things, cloud storage and big data, to get started. In 2011, both of those technologies were surrounded by a lot of hype, much of it generated by vendors, but they also had some breakthroughs. Let's talk about cloud storage. What's really happening when it comes to non-backup cloud storage services?
Well, we're starting to see archive, people move their archives to the cloud. Some of the storage gateway products have gained some traction and added features and services, so they're not as much of a niche type of product anymore. But I think for the most part, last year was a year, even though the hype has been around for a couple years, I think last year was really a year that people were really, for the first time, defining what the cloud is and how they can use it, how it can help them, and, what's the difference between cloud storage and your traditional legacy SAN.
Okay, so the confusion seems to be giving way to some sort of clarity, and according to our latest Storage Magazine poll, adoption of non-backup cloud storage services is up. So it was about 14% 2 years ago, and now we're at 21%. So that's a good sign. Big data becomes a big deal. Dave, we heard so much about it. You were at EMC World last year when it was the theme of their annual show. NetApp got into the act this year after it acquired Ingenio. What's going on when it comes to big data?
Well, big data is still, there's really two parts of big data. The main part of big data is analytics, numbers crunching, data warehousing, business intelligence. That is not really the main focus of storage. Storage, obviously, these databases are stored somewhere, but the analytics, that number crunching, is really a compute technology. From the storage side, big data, according to the vendors who are pushing it, are these huge data sets, mostly file data, that has been the fastest growing segment of storage. Scale-out NAS systems are the main product that people will try to lump into the big data bucket. So, it remains to be seen if that storage aspect of big data will catch on, or, some people are saying, I don't have big data, I just have, a lot of data, I just have petabytes of data, and, my main struggle is just finding a way to store and manage all that, and they don't want to hear anything about big data.
Talk to me a little bit about how open source Hadoop software is playing into this.
Well, Hadoop software is pretty much, on the analytics side, people are using it for that, but some of the storage vendors, NetApp and EMC, the two you mentioned, are starting to, offer storage systems with Hadoop or compatibility with Hadoop. But Hadoop is not really a storage application.
Okay. Speaking of EMC, before we jump to 2012, big changes there. Joe Tucci is going to step down. How different is he from the person slated to replace him, and what does that mean for EMC?
Well, they haven't picked a replacement yet, but most people believe it will be Pat Gelsinger, who has been kind of like the co-face of EMC along with Joe Tucci for most of the last year. So they seem to be grooming him, although there are a couple other EMC executives, Dave Goulden, who's the CFO, and Howard Elias, who has held several high executive positions with EMC, are often mentioned, but most people in and out of EMC who I talk to believe it will be Pat Gelsinger, who his last major position was at Intel. He headed one of Intel's product groups. So he's more of a product guy than Tucci, and he's a technology guy. You know, I don't think we'll see a big change right off the bat, but, you know, down the road, you know, EMC may, you know, maybe they'll do more development of their own products than relying on acquisitions of the, as they've done. But it's a little early to really know how big of a change it will be. But, I mean, certainly this is Tucci has been the guy at EMC for a long time, so I expect there will be some changes down the road.
All right, thanks. We'll be keeping an eye on that. Looking ahead to 2012, the cash follows flash. The big money flowed towards solid-state storage in 2011. Violin Memory, Dave, was the biggest fundraiser among storage vendors in 2011. They picked up something like $75 million over two rounds. What does that mean for the market in general, and why flash technology now?
Well, there's a couple of things for flash. One is the price is coming down. It's still probably you know, a lot higher than most customers would like it, but it's steadily coming down. The options for flash are expanding. MLC, multi-level flash, which a couple of years ago was not good enough really for the enterprise, but vendors have done a lot of development, so it can be used for a lot of applications, and it's a cheaper version than the single-level cell flash. You have PCI Express-based flash. There's more options coming there. Fusion.io was the early vendor there and did pretty well, and now other competitors are popping up. So, you know, there's a lot going on in flash. Controllers are starting to be developed specifically to take advantage of solid state rather than trying to use controllers built for disk drives with flash storage. So there's a lot happening there. Another topical issue is the floods in Thailand, which has caused a lot of hard drive vendors to shut down their plants. And there is a shortage in disk drives, and prices are going up there. So a lot of people think that will prompt a lot of shops to take a look at flash now. So there's a lot going on there. There's an awful lot of flash startups on the market. You know, we'll probably see a lot more consolidation this year that started in 2011. But, you know, the venture capitalists are certainly leaning towards flash. That's where most of the money is going in the storage segment.
Okay. Now, Dave, every year we talk about dedupe. Every year we say dedupe for primary storage is going to be sizzling hot this year, and every year at the end of the year we have to regroup. In 2011, did it finally break through?
Not really, no. It did showed up a little bit. Dell started putting the technology it got from Ocarina on some of its storage systems. Actually, just one platform, but there'll be more coming. You know, EMC slightly expanded its primary compression and dedupe. You know, it was more of a positioning year. I think we'll see more products come this year. I would say 2010 was kind of an acquisition and development year where people were buying and starting to develop the technology. 2011 was kind of a positioning year where people were starting to get it out on their products, and I think we'll see it for earnest in 2012 where it becomes a viable option.
All right. Thanks very much, Dave. We look forward to talking with you each week, and I will toss it over to Rachel Kosman now, who's going to tell us which headlines were most important this week in the Storage Media Group. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Rachel, take it away.
Thanks, Ellen and Dave. As Dave alluded to, in 2011, seven storage company acquisitions altered the storage landscape. The most recent, which was announced in mid-December, was the Seagate and Samsung deal. The $1.4 billion deal took 7 months to close and gave Seagate Samsung's M8 products line. Also on our acquisitions list was the Hitachi Blue Arc deal, which was a $600 million deal, which also took a significant amount of time to close. Oracle acquired Pillar as part of their strategy to redefine storage. NetApp also acquired LSI's NGO, which gives the company two platforms after it spent years positioning its single unified platform as the best option with a competitive advantage over other NAS and SAN options. And although it was announced several months ago, Western Digital's proposed $4.3 billion takeover of Hitachi Global Storage Technology didn't finalize before the ball dropped into 2012. That's definitely news to look for in the coming months. But enough with acquisitions. Search Storage Channel had a story about the Wisconsin Army National Guard, which recently employed IT services reseller Swish Data Corporation to help it virtualize storage and servers. The organization purchased a NetApp unified storage solution to implement storage virtualization. For those of you who use tape backup, you might be interested in hearing that sales of backup tape cartridges fell about 4% in the third quarter of last year, below the projected $109.2 million they were believed to bring in. It appears that LTO format tapes are the more popular option. That format accounted for just under $159 million in sales, or 89% of the total. If you're frustrated with your RAID technology lately, you might be happy to read Randy Kern's Storage Soup blog post about life after RAID. He explains why the common method has limitations and why new developments in the implementation of erasure codes, also known as FEC, or Forward Error Correction, is looking promising. And that wraps up our podcast for the week. To read all of these stories and more, be sure to visit searchstorage.com, searchstoragechannel.com, and the Storage Soup and Data Defenders blogs on IT Knowledge Exchange. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.